Revelation chapter 9. As we begin this chapter, the first thing I want us to note is this comment by a couple of the commentators, and I wholeheartedly agree. They said that the commentators agree that this chapter is one of the most difficult sections to understand and interpret in the entire book. And I think they're probably right. It's a tough chapter. And so I'll tell you right from the onset, we'll probably not all agree on all the different things, and there's a lot of things we're not going to understand. But we'll do the best we can and grasp the things that God has clearly told us, and the things that he hasn't clearly told us, we'll do our best on it. All right, so we'll keep that as a good way of looking at it as we begin this chapter. And begin with verses 1 to 12. So if you want to just follow along as I read verses 1 to 12 of chapter 9. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke a locust upon the earth. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree. Now, that's the typical things that locusts eat. But only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. All right, so they were to hurt the people that didn't have the seal. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and that their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days men shall seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared in battle, and their heads were as it were crowns of like gold. And their faces were as the faces of men, and their hair as the hair of a woman, and on their teeth as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of the wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and they were there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, and in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. Oi. So, now let's dig into this section here. First of all, John says he sees a star fall from heaven. Now, as you look at that, we see here the star is personified. What do we mean by personified? Okay, it's treated like it's a person. All right? So, because it treats the star like a person, it's not a literal star. It's not a twinkler up in the sky. It's something else that he's referring to. For some reason, he calls it a star. The star may be Satan having fallen from heaven. All right, so the phrase there that he fell from heaven or saw it fall from heaven is it's a perfect tense, which means it's something that is already passed. It's done. All right, so it almost seems like it was Satan. It may have been Satan. And maybe that's why he was called a star. Remember, Isaiah calls him the morning star. All right, so that could be what is taking place here. If it is Satan, he cannot do this until God gives him permission. So all the things he's about to do, he has to get permission from God. Kind of reminds us of the book of Job.
I don't think it's Satan.
You don't think it's Satan?
Satan would not have the cake the bottom was picked, and he's going to be put in
there. Well, he wasn't there, and it was given to him.
Anyway, stars are also angels, so
it could have been an angel. It could have been something else. I'm not saying one way or the other.
It says he, so it can't be just a star. Either.
It was personified.
It's a person.
Yes. It's just interesting. I wonder sometimes when it comes to Satan asking God for permission, because Satan clearly doesn't care about God's statutes and commandments and God's will. I mean, that's why he fights God. So it's almost, I wonder if it's Satan actually respects God's decision, or literally Satan would do it regardless of God's permission, but God holds him back.
Well, see, as you look at the, you know, I was asking those kind of questions too, but as you dig into this and you see what is taking place, the devil hates people just like, you know, he hates God. And we're going to see this further as we go on here. And he is not necessarily, because he is tormenting people and because he's doing all these things that God allows him to do, he's doing it because he can't stand people either. And he's trying to drive them away from God. He's trying to get them to be bitter toward God. And so even he's working into God's plan, even though God is using that. So if it isn't Satan, it could be an angel, it could be something else. And like I said, it doesn't say what it is. It just says that it's something that's personified. So whether it's Satan or not, that is really not the issue. But we do know that it was something, not just a twinkling star. And the star opened the bottomless pit. Right now, as you look at this once again, Inica brought out the idea that Satan wouldn't have the key to the bottomless pit, but it says that it was given to him. So whoever it was that opened it was given the key to the bottomless pit. All right. Now, as he opened this pit, the smoke comes out and darkness and the sun and darkened the sun and the air. Now, this may be a type of spiritual darkness from the demonic influence from the pit as well. There's so many things here we just don't fully understand and know. The demonic locusts come out of this pit, and they had power like scorpions. And we ask the question, did God give them the power of Satan, or did Satan give them that power? Either way, God was in control of it. Right? Now, once again, you know, if it was an angel that was doing this, then he loosed the demons that were in the bottomless pit, and they came out and were demonic locusts that were causing all these problems. So whether, you know, in a lot of ways, it makes more sense that Satan would want his own co-workers coming out and helping him.
It seems to me that they're demonic spirits because they have a leader, Abaddon and Napoleon, which is the same name.
Right.
He's the leader. So
yes.
He's an angel.
Yes. Well, it is still an evil angel, though. I mean, a demonic angel.
Evil angel. Yes.
Yes. So, I mean, the potential is still there that the evil angel could be Satan. So whatever the case may be. All right, so we'll work our way down to the verse that Joe just mentioned just a moment ago. Now, God was in control of demonic locusts, and these may have been the imprisoned demons that are mentioned in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, and also in Jude 1, 6. All right, so they talk about them being these angels. Some of the angels were locked up in Tartarus, it's called, this prison. And even right to this day, some of those angels are still locked up. Now, some of them are free, loose, and they're Satan's agents right now, that all the demons in the world that are running around causing grief to us. But some of them are still locked up. And how they got locked up and why they got locked up, that's another whole story, and we're not going to dig into that. But that's not the point. Here's, they seem to be locked up in the bottomless pit where Satan's going to spend 1,000 years during the millennium. And now they're let out of the bottomless pit, and these demons are out causing trouble in the world. Now, Satan and his demons hate men whom God created, and they will seek to torment humans mightily. Remember how they tormented the demon-possessed man in the Gadarenes, right? And there are the four references there in the Gospels. Remember, think of some of the things that poor man there in the Gadarenes. What was taking place in his life? What was happening to him?
He was cutting
himself. He was screaming and hollering. Yeah, he lived in the graves. He was tormented. And he lived a miserable life. He couldn't be around people. He hated people. So we see similar things taking place here as they were tormenting men. So there's similarities. All right, and they were not to hurt the vegetation, right? But only this unsealed people. Now, God protected Israel from most of the plagues of Egypt. You know, you stop and think about that. God here now says, all right, there's a certain amount of people that are going to be protected. All right, and you go back to Egypt, and with the plagues, how many of the plagues, did anybody remember right off, how many of the plagues that Israel did not suffer? Israel actually suffered some of the plagues. It was the first three that I'm pretty sure they did not, they did suffer. All right, the blood and the frogs and the lice and maybe the flies. I can't remember. Israel had to endure that too. And then the next one, God clearly says that it didn't affect the Israelites. And the rest of them didn't affect the Israelites. Right? So God did protect his people from some of them. And if you, some of you look like you got blank looks on your face, look it up later. Right? You'll see there in Exodus chapter... Yes, ma'am.
Was there any land migration noise, or perhaps more than 13?
No, but it clearly states that, I think it was the fourth one or maybe the fifth one, it clearly states that this one affected the Israel, or did not affect Israel like all the other ones did. So the first few did affect them.
Have a look at some of the plagues. If they were just in Goshen where they were living, and the whole of Goshen wasn't affected, they wouldn't even know what was happening.
Well, they were working in the other... But they were working in the...
They would have had to know.
Yeah, well, they would have known, Inica, because they were working all over the land of Egypt. They had to go all over the land of Egypt looking for straw and stuff for the bricks. And so they did know, but in their homes, they were protected from the last several of them. But here we see that God can certainly protect. Now, the sealed are the 144,000, and I searched and searched, and I can't find any verses that says that all of the saints will be sealed. That's interesting. So that means, if that be the case, then the 144,000 that are selected to be witnesses, we assume, of the Jewish people, and he lists them off there in chapter 7, they're the ones that are protected from these demons. Now, does that mean the other believers are protected or not? I mean, they're not said to be sealed.
They're sealed by God's Holy Spirit.
Yes, but that was a different situation. We are believers now. We're not going to be in the tribulation period.
They are protected for a time, but then they give their lives in the end.
Well, they do give their lives, but can you find any verses? But what I'm saying is I looked all over in the book of Revelation to try to find anything that said that the other believers were sealed beside the 144,000. And I can't find any.
Just as those that did not receive the mark of the beast and did not worship his name.
Right, they didn't get the mark. So, yeah, we don't really know the answer to that question. So probably we can assume that other Christians had to go through some of these tormenting times. Just as the Israelites, some of the Israelites had to. It's in there. If you can find a verse, show me. I'm happy to find it. All right?
Sure, there is, probably isn't a verse.
Yeah. Well, all I'm saying is what it says. All right? God says that those...
I'm just saying that why would God treat us like that? If, you know,
I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. But I'm just saying I can't find a scripture.
Well,
yes.
I guess one thing comes to mind is the reason... Unfortunate that some of the people might have to go through that is because at the end of the day, a lot of Christians will get persecuted as well. So it's like saying, well, how about that?
Yes.
There will be, it's just a terrible time for everyone, pretty much on earth.
A vast majority of those who put their faith and trust in Christ during the tribulation period will be martyred.
Yeah, I mean, God is a righteous God, but God let Christians suffer martyrdom and let Christians
be tortured and let Christians be beaten. Jesus did say, in the world you will have tribulation.
Tribulation
period
on earth.
It's
the tribulation on earth. Okay, so we don't know. That's one of those things we'll have to wait and find out. All right? And they were not to kill the people, but only to torment them. Look at verse 5 again. This is really amazing. It says that they were given them that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And the torment was as the torment of scorpions when he striketh a man. So they're going to feel like they're being stung by scorpions, and it's going to be so bad, we see in the next verse, that men will seek death and God will not let them die. So there'll be nobody that can kill themselves, nobody that can end their life, nobody that can shoot each other. They can't kill each other. For some reason, God's got to protect them so they can't die. But they'll be tormented and tormented and tormented for 5 months. And, yes, sir?
Yeah, one thing I was thinking, I was just trying to come up with ideas about how could they not die, just to try to kill themselves or something. I thought, maybe, it is true, either God prevents them from being able to die, or it mentions in the verse above that they're tormented. So it could be that somehow they actually get attacked and captured or in some control of people and tormenting them constantly, and they can't escape. They can't go off and kill themselves. They're trapped.
I don't know. That's just a guess, too. But either way, God says that they're not going to die.
Yeah,
all right? So that's all. All that we know is they're not going to die. So how it's going to happen, God doesn't tell us the how. He just tells us they're not going to die. For 5 months, they're going to be tormented. All right. And then the locust had strange appearance. We saw there in verses 7 to 10. Very strange appearance of these guys. They wore armor like horses prepared for battle, verse 7. And they wore crowns on their heads, verse 7. And verse 7 again, their faces were like that of men. And verse 8, they had hair like a woman. Why? You read there in 1 Corinthians 11:15 that it's a glory for a woman to have long hair. It's a shame for a woman to have short hair. Why? So he's speaking of long hair on a woman. I said, so they had long hair. And they had teeth like lions. And they wore breastplates of like iron. And their sound of their wings was like running of chariots. And the tails were like scorpions that stung and hurt men. All right, now, as you stop and think of look at this list. What a description. All right? But one of the things we cannot tell, and I'm going to mention this in just a moment, is exactly, well, let me just say it. I'll get it out instead of saying it ahead of time. I'll get it when I get there. All right? The locusts had a king over them. All right? And that was already brought up a few moments ago, verse number 11. And he was the angel of the bottomless pit. Was that Satan? We assume that. I mean, he's called Abaddon and Apollyon. And those are names that we assume belong to Satan. We can assume that he was the king of the bottomless pit. But he wasn't in the bottomless pit then. He was out free right now. He's out free now. And he won't be bound in the bottomless pit until the millennium. So is he the king over the bottomless pit, even though he's loose? Or was there somebody else that's in the bottomless pit that's kind of secondary to Satan that's the king? I don't know. But whoever this king is, he's Abaddon and he's Apollyon. And these dreadful locusts were this first woe. They were the first woe that God brought on them. Now these descriptions, we ask ourselves, are they literal or symbolic? God doesn't really tell us. Well, if what I'm saying though is, yes, they could be very literal. I mean, these descriptions of...
If they were not literal, then what would you make of them?
Okay, well, that's what I'm saying here. Is some people try to describe some of these things as John's way of describing modern warfare and stuff like that. Yeah. All right? And we assume that, I mean, John describes them like this. I mean, these funny-looking creatures that are locusts that sting like scorpions and... And I'm not saying God couldn't do that. Certainly he couldn't. God could make them just look like these things. And he could make them with their long hair and all that stuff. So all of this...
Get away from the fact that it was some person, him, and it was an angel, and the king was there, and the king over the angel. So they're demonic.
Yes, they're definitely
sure
demonic.
That conclusion quite easy.
Yeah, they are demonic beings. But whether these demonic beings, John's description here, whether they're literally... hopping around and in literally looking like this, or whether there's other things about this description that are helping him to try to describe them. But I'm not saying that the descriptions are wrong. I'm certainly not saying that. But it's an unusual description.
Okay, well, the trouble of describing all this is it's not true.
Oh, I'm not saying it isn't true. It is true.
I'm not saying you're not.
Okay.
I don't. They're supposed to interpret it as not being true. Why go to all that trouble?
Well, at the same time, John was describing things that were beyond his comprehension.
Anyway,
yep. It's neither here nor there. We don't know. John Ray.
I was going to say, I'd love to see like an illustrated, you know, I get the illustrated children's Bible. Like, you could see a Revelation edition, like, see, like, what was.
I've seen some pictures of people's imaginations. Lots of imaginations here. All right. And Chip. Yes, ma'am.
They would have to be something kind of more organic because they were told that they weren't to touch the grass. They had to be probably like the drone is good, they're going to want to eat grass anyway. But they, what did they eat? I don't know.
Well, locusts eat grass. See, that's...
It says here that they were told not to touch the grass.
Yes.
Or anything in the tree.
Yeah. Which implies that they're probably... by nature, would eat green stuff.
Well, because they looked like locusts, and assuming that they were some kind of locust, locusts eat grass. And so he said they weren't going to eat the grass, but what they ate, he doesn't tell us, he just said they couldn't eat the grass or anything green, and that instead they were stinging like scorpions.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things here that are really bizarre about these creatures, but they're demonic. But the big thing to remember is that they're demonic. Whatever they are, they're demonic creatures. Now, verse 13. And the sixth angel sounded. And I heard the voice of the from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, and there were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen was 200,000 or 200 million. I heard the number of them, and thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth, and of brimstone, and their heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed, by fire and by smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. And for their power is in their mouth and in their tail, and their tails were like unto the serpents, and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of men which were not killed by the plagues yet repented not of their works of their hands, that they should not worship the devils, not worship the devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. All right, so now the sixth seal opens. There's another woe, and when the sixth trumpet. So the sixth trumpet blows, and when the trumpet blew, John heard the voice from the golden altar. All right, now, this golden altar is mentioned once elsewhere, and back in chapter 8 and verse 3, the golden altar is mentioned there, and where all the prayers of the saints were offered in the golden altar, and the voice that spoke to the sixth angel with a trumpet. All right, so this voice comes out of this that is heard from off the golden altar, God's altar there, and they hear this voice, and the voice speaks and to the sixth angel, and he was to release the four angels that were bound in the river Euphrates. These angels were prepared to kill a third of the men that were still living. All right, now, a third of the population of the world they were to kill. And it was these angels of the river Euphrates. Now, the army of the four angels is numbered 200 million. All right, so there's going to be 200 million of these creatures that are in this. Now, the soldiers had breastplates of fire. Their horses had heads as fire-breathing lions. Their power was in their tails, shaped like snakes with biting heads. And are these soldiers demons or demonically controlled men? Is their description literal, demonic, or types of modern artillery? You know, there's a lot of questions here. I mean, the things that he's describing here, it could be that God's had these creatures that have, you know, breastplates that are blazing fire, and that their heads are fire-breathing lions, and that, you know, that they really have snakes that have a head on the end of the snake and it bites people. I mean, that's possible. God could do that. He's created everything else. It could be. Joe, you got any?
Look at it. You know, these four angels are controlling them. These four angels, the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates, that are let loose, they're controlling the whole.
Yes. Path. Now, do you reckon that these angels are demons?
Absolutely, demons. They're high-ranking demons.
Yes. Well, I was
like the ones in the pit, Napoleon, and they all have their names.
Yeah. So these, you know, I assume they're demons as well. That these four angels that are there in the river Euphrates, they're bound there, kept back. And there's various ideas on these things, but these creatures, just like the locust creatures, unusual looking. They could be absolutely, literally like they are and causing all kinds of grief. Or it could be John's way of describing something that he couldn't understand.
That's right. Satan took a third of God's angels from heaven. Now, maybe that whole third would be huge, so God had to put them in a certain, you know, area for a time, locked up for the specific time. And that's when all the hordes are let loose, possibly. You know?
Yeah, well, but by this time, I mean...
That's mid-tribulation time for that now.
So it sounds like... It sounds like the devil now is going to have, instead of part of his angels like he has now, he's going to have all the angels loosed, and they're all going to become, you know, causing great havoc on the earth. Now, to say that he's got 200 million angels, I mean, that's how many that are mentioned here. So whether that's the amount that are not locked in the bottomless pit or in the... These are in the River Euphrates. So there's a lot of things that, as I said right at the very beginning, there's a lot of stuff here that's hard to understand. All right? And those not killed by the army still refused to repent. All right? So we saw that in verses 20 and 21. They still refused to repent. And they continued to worship their idols and the devils. And they refused to repent of their sins. Their sins were mentioned here of demon and idol worship and murder and witchcraft and fornication and thefts. All right, so these are the things that they were still doing, and they said, we're not going to change this. They are determined to stay in their ways. And you know, we're living in a world that is more and more and more going that direction, where people are so hardened toward God. And it does make it hard to tell them of Christ. And you know, just yesterday, I might mention it on Sunday, but I tried witnessing to a lady. There's a lady that I get horse manure for my garden from, and went up. She called me yesterday and said she had some ready, so I interrupted what I was doing and went out and got it. And I was determined. I was praying for her. I was determined I was going to witness to her. I tried witnessing to her. Man, she shut me right down, didn't want to know about that, and said, you know, there's one thing I don't like is I don't like it when people try to convert me. And so I backed off and just said, well, I'm not trying to upset you, but I just, you know, some people don't know and want to know, you know, so... Yeah, but I mean, there's people like that all over. But there's others that are still open. Today in the markets, I saw a young man that I've witnessed to a couple of times. He's a clerk in the little market there at the Ocean Keys. And I spoke with him again today, and I offered him another track. And I said, did you read the ones you gave me? Yeah, I read all of them you gave me. And he's opening, and he said he's got a friend that's been talking to him about God. And so, I mean, there's people out there that are hungry and open, but there's a lot of them that are getting more and more hard. But Sunday we're going to be talking more about witnessing and how to witness and what discourages us and how can we keep motivated with that. So I encourage you know, just we need to keep focusing on this, because we see here in the tribulation period, things are going to get really hard and they're going to be bitter toward God and hateful.
This is where they're given over. What's the word they use? Reprobate mind. This is where it can't come back from that sort of.
No, they just,
gives them over.
They've turned themselves over. We see that in Romans chapter 1, where people, when people get to a certain point, God just says, okay, have your own way. Yeah. Have your own way. All right, so some personal applications here for us is from this chapter. The trumpet judgments will be dreadful. Rebels against God will suffer for their sins, but even then, God's loving heart is longing for men to repent, and yet they still refuse. And they refuse God. And now is the time for us to urge unbelievers to repent and trust Christ. And so, you know, we really need to ask God, when we see things like this, and we see what's going to be happening there, we know these things, this is not fairy tales. This is stuff that's really going to happen. And if the Lord came back tonight, this kind of stuff would be happening in just 3 years or so. It's going to be bad. And we need to do our best to warn people and help people and urge people to consider the truth. Generally.
So it's interesting that, like, I mean, in like the secular world, and even maybe like the Catholic Church or one of like false religions, they kind of, whenever like they think about God's judgment on it, they kind of think it's like a type where God decides who goes to heaven and hell. But that's so false. There's nothing to do with God deciding who goes to heaven and hell. The Bible makes it very clear the decision he's put on man to make that decision.
Yes.
Whether they reject it or not. It's not, it's got nothing to do with whether God chooses, oh, you go here, you go here. God's judging. That's the final, that's when God declares the choice that you've made. But he's not making the choice. And I think that's what people oftentimes miss about God. It's not a time of decision. It's a time of God just announcing that this is what you chose.
Yeah, the final judgment there in Revelation 20 is a sentencing time.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not a deciding time.
In the world sees it. If you talk to people, they say, what's the final judgment? They say, well, that's what God decides to go.
Most people that I meet that will even talk about religious things, they have this big idea that there's big scales in heaven. If my good outweighs the bad, I'll get in. And they just... No, there's nothing there in the Bible about that. So we just got to keep...
Yeah, exactly. That's what most people understand. That's what they think.
That's right. All right. Well, keep digging, keep researching, and there's lots there to learn, but lots we don't understand. We'll have to ask the Lord about it.